The U.S. stock market just opened a lot higher. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The stock market, by the close of business yesterday, had lost $2.2 trillion in value, at least on paper, compared to its record high last month. Just this week, the Dow dropped 5.3%, 1,395 points, but that was as of the close yesterday. Then, Asia and Europe have been rebounding this morning, and in the U.S., the Dow is up 333 points this morning, 1.3%. The S&P 500 up 41 points, 1.5%. The Nasdaq Composite up 165 points right now, 2.25%. The attention is shifting from higher interest rates in America to big bank profits that started coming out this morning. There's news that profits at J.P. Morgan Chase last quarter went up 24%. The stock is up 1% now. Citigroup had a mixed result, but the stock is up 2.2%. Wells Fargo was lower than expected, yet the stock is up 1.7%. So a swing upward this morning. The volatility has been the most since February, and how that tends to put your brain in conflict with itself is an interesting thing to talk about. A psychologist might help here, but we're turning to a market veteran. Barry Ritholtz is with Ritholtz Wealth Management in New York.
We live in the day-to-day, but our portfolios are designed for decade by decades. And that's an emotionally challenging transition. But thinking 20, 30 years out, that's much more cerebral and much more cool. And where those two run into trouble, very often the emotions win.
All right, I have to ask you a macro question here. You know, it's my job to press people about why this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason, or are people just sort of saying things? Everyone keeps telling me, and I keep writing, that it has something to do with the recognition that we have higher interest rates in America.
So there's two answers to that. So the mathy answer is, based on research, we've had a number of rate hiking regimes over the past 50 years. And for most of them, for most of the time, stocks go up when the Fed is tightening. Stop and think about it from a causal relationship. Why is the Fed tightening? Because the economy is doing well. In fact, it's doing so well that corporate profits are at all-time highs and that wages are going up, and we're actually looking at possible inflation. And therefore, the Fed just wants to take a little bit of heat out of the economy so it can continue on a sustainable pace.
So that's the mathy part of the brain talking.
The philosophical answer is, hey, humans are really good at explaining what just happened after the fact. I heard the exact same thing in January when we had that sell-off, and then eventually that recovered, and then go back 2 years before and we heard, oh, this is it, rate hikes are doing it. Now we get to worry about tariffs and trade war, and we get to worry about the strong dollar. There's always a perfect after-the-fact rationalization, but nobody ever really catches this in advance, because the reality is markets move in a somewhat random walk. There's a little bit of persistency, a little bit of trend, but the day-to-day and week-to-week stuff is very, very variable. Humans hate the idea that this is all random. So we come up with these very comforting narratives. We tell a great story, and that makes people feel better about what just happened. The reality is, this sort of stuff happens all the time.
Veteran market watcher Barry Ritholtz is founder of Ritholtz Wealth Management. Barry, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
I have to tell you, there's still plenty of cargo ships steaming from China into the U.S. in spite of the Trump administration's tariffs on Chinese imports. New September trade figures out of Beijing today show China now has a record $34 billion trade surplus with the U.S. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Part of what's going on? Chinese exporters were front-loading last month, shipping out as much as they could before a new round of tariffs went into effect at the end of September. Also, there was the usual holiday rush, more orders from U.S. retailers stocking up for the holiday shopping season, and a decline in the value of China's currency made Chinese exports cheaper for American buyers. We're also importing more from China because the U.S. economy is growing. American consumers are buying. China's economy is cooling off. Consumers there aren't opening up their wallets. The upshot? China's importing less and exporting more. Total Chinese exports in September were up around 14% from the same time last year. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace. We'll be right back.
I think it was about 3 years ago, I sat down with the head of Cadillac, who was very proud they'd moved their brand headquarters to New York City to take advantage of this city's media meets fashion trend-setting ability. Well, that was then. Now Cadillac is moving back to Detroit as the struggle continues to win back luxury buyers with, among other things, a new model. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Cadillac's experiment in Manhattan was meant to give its executives a chance to mingle with upscale customers in an upscale city. But the strategy turned into a premium mess by splitting up the Cadillac team, says Jeff Schuster at LMC Automotive.
It became more of a logistical nightmare to work with the designers, the engineers that are back in Detroit.
Cadillac sales fell during its New York sojourn, and its share of the luxury car market is now down to 7%. The company says with Cadillac back in Detroit, the brand will begin an aggressive product expansion, starting with a new crossover SUV this fall. But Akshay Anand of Kelley Blue Book says Cadillac still faces a fundamental challenge, its identity.
Perceptions of the brand still waver depending on who you ask. Millennial buyers are still unsure if Cadillac is this new reinvigorated brand or if it's still that brand of yesterday.
The good news for Cadillac is China, where sales of the Cadillac brand sped up 51% last year. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Again, the Dow Jones Industrial Average now up 338 points, 1.4%. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.